your eyes will go square. Don't come running to me when you break your legs. You might think I'm angry, but wait till your father gets home. I'm sure there are things we have all heard mothers say, and we know when we have turned into our parents when we start using them ourselves. So today, Mothering Sunday or Mother's Day. Mothering Sunday was a day set aside within Lent when girls who had gone and boys who had gone into service would return to their home churches. And so it was going home to the mother church. And they might take with them a gift, flowers perhaps, or a cake or something of that nature. But we've now, in many respects, turned that into Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a fairly modern invention. Mothering Sunday goes way back, way, way back, way back, even older than Lena. It goes way, way, way back. Sorry. But Mother's Day, and I looked this up. There was a small Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. And the nation was still mourning the Civil War dead. So while she was teaching a Memorial Day lesson, Mrs. Anna Rees Jarvis thought of mothers who had lost their sons. She prayed aloud that one day there would be a memorial day for mothers. Now, the prayer made a deep impression on one of her 11 children. So in 1908, the younger Anna Jarvis began a campaign for a nationwide observance of Mother's Day in order to honour and remember her late mother. Now, obviously, it wasn't long before Anna became very concerned about the commercialisation of Mother's Day. I don't know about you, but just before Mother's Day, I quickly buy shares in Hallmark so that I can... But that got even worse when in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill recognising Mother's Day as a national holiday. Anna Jarvis regretted ever starting the idea of having a holiday. But it is a wonderful opportunity. Yes, we should love and say that we love our mums and our dads frequently. But it is a day set aside especially to remember them. And as I said last week was International Women's Day, and then this week we've got Mother's Day. I don't know what we're going to have next week. But it is good to have our minds focused on what our mums bring to us. Sadly, in this day and age, there are too many mums who don't know how to be mums. They themselves haven't been brought up in a way that has given them good benchmarks to follow. My mum was, dare I say it, of the old school. If she saw someone eating chewing gum in the street, that was the lowest of the low. When we went to McDonald's, And we only took Mum to McDonald's once. After we'd got our food, she went up to the counter and asked if there were any knives and forks. But she set good standards for both my brother and I to grow up by. At times, she was a hard disciplinarian, but there were a number of years when she was bringing up the two of us on her own. And so she asked us once, when we were about 16, we were just having a round table chat, and she said, "Was there any other times you were frightened of me?" I said, "Yes, Mum, of course there were." Oh, she was horrified, absolutely horrified. I said, "Yes, Mum, but we understood, because you had to be both Mum and Dad to us at that time. So you had to set, you know, those sorts of disciplinary standards." Our mums are so important to us. I mean, this morning both Liz and I have remembered both our mums, now sadly gone, but we know where they are. And it is good, just on the odd occasion, to set aside a day when we think especially of our mums, and in a moment or two, we shall be looking at the role of women in the Bible. The Bible, obviously, as far as we are aware, was written by men. And so some might say it has a male slant to it. We call God, God the Father. We don't call him God the Mother, and we don't call him God the thing. You know, we've personalized him by calling him God the Father. And so on and so forth. But we shall be looking at the role of women in the Bible today. Now we're going to sing another song of love. No, that's not right. I know she was there at my birth. Mums, such a vital bond that we have with our mums. Even at the age of 90, Mum would say, "You're not too big for me to put over you to put over my knee and give you a good spanking." Yes, Mum. Who was the first person to know that Jesus was going to be born? His mum, Mary. Who was the first person who directed Jesus to perform his first miracle? His mum. And even as he was hanging on the cross, what did he say? Said to the disciple that he loved, "Here is your mum." In other words, look after. Even as he was dying on the cross, his thought at that moment was for his mum who he saw there. That's how important they are to us. Now, we have the story of the woman of Samaria, if you remember, at the well. Here is a woman who, through her lifestyle, is ostracized by the whole of her community. She isn't able to come to the well in the morning with the other ladies or in the evening with the other ladies when it's cool, but she has to come in the middle of the day. And who does she find sitting at the well? Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus says to her, "Give me some water to drink." Perhaps she's brought with her the bucket that she lowers down into the well or something. And so, "Please, give me some water to drink." And she's immediately aghast that he has asked her. Why? One, she's a woman. Two, she's a Samaritan, the dreaded enemy of the Jew. And third, she's an outcast. And yet, Jesus asks her for water. Now, there are far too many women in our world today, not through their lifestyle, please don't get me wrong, but are treated as second-class citizens, purely because they are women. Now, I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but a woman is the equal of any man when it comes to many, many things. Their wisdom, their insight, their patience, or I am the most impatient patient going. But they are. And that's why God, in his infinite wisdom, said that man and woman should come together to form a unit in marriage. So that they each bring their own strengths. They each bring their own characteristics. They each bring what they have inside them to that marriage. And I, for one, am so thankful that that is the case. I can never remember how many years we've been married. What?
Really? Oh, gosh. 47 years.
Oh, I'd have got less for double murder. No, sorry. But that's what it's about. It's coming together. It's being united. It's being a partnership. And the funerals that I take, where I took one this week, they've been married for 58 and a half years. And now suddenly, the woman is on her own. You know, and I can't begin to understand, perhaps one day I will have to, I don't know, how you navigate that. But we know that in the Lord, we trust and pray that we can. So women have a very important part. Now, in the Bible, there are a number of specific references to women. The woman with the bleed who touches the hem of Jesus' garment. The women around the cross as Jesus is crucified. The women who go to the tomb. And there's one that I thoroughly love, and I'll ask you, you'll probably know who it is. Who knows who Rhoda is? Does anyone know who Rhoda is? No? No? Rhoda is a servant girl. And Peter has been locked in prison. And he's got chains round... Yes, you got it now. And he's got chains around his ankles, around his wrists, and he's got a platoon of soldiers around him, and then he's got a platoon of soldiers just outside the prison as well. So he's pretty safely locked up, let's put it that way. But the Lord sends an angel to Peter, and I love this bit. Peter is so fast asleep that the angel has to knock him in the side to wake him up. There he is, in prison, all locked up, and yet, no, I'm in the Lord. Anyway, so the angel leads him out of the prison. Peter thinks this is all a dream until he's actually outside the prison and realizes that it's really happening. And so he goes to the house where everyone has been praying for him. And he knocks on the door, and this servant girl, Rhoda, comes to the door. And so Peter calls through the door, "It's me, it's Peter. I've come back from the prison." Now, instead of opening the door, she's so excited that it's Peter that she runs in to tell everybody else, "Peter's at the door." And they all go, "Don't be stupid. He's in prison. He's all locked up. He's got chains around him and so on." "No, I'm telling you, it is Peter." I love that. I love that. And so they open the door and they welcome him in. What an example. And Delia brought it to us last week. When we are praying about something, but we're praying with that slight if and but. When we're praying, we need to be praying with thanks, because we know that the Lord has heard our prayers and in his own wisdom and way will answer them. That praying with absolute conviction, and there it is. They've been praying for Peter's release. So when he is released, they can't believe it. But that's Rhoda. She does that for us. We know during Jesus' ministry that a number of the women followed him around. That's why when we speak of the feeding of the 5,000, we speak of 5,000 men. Because it may well have been, again, another 5,000 women as their partners, and then perhaps another 5,000 as children. So it may very well have been as many as 15,000 that were fed on that hillside. And the same with the 4,000. God has a very special place in his heart for women. And I'm thinking of the story of the woman with the mite in the temple. While Jesus sees all these rich people with their fine linens on and their fine clothes, throwing their bags of money into the temple coffers, as if to say, "Look at me, I can afford to throw this much in." But she's there with her two little coins, which she quietly pops in. But Jesus sees her. I tell you this, she has been far more greatly blessed because she has given sacrificially, not out of her excess. Women form that very important part. And yes, there have been many occasions when women have helped advance the kingdom of God. Those women who have gone out to African nations and so on to act as missionaries. It's easy at times, and our television does this, we impersonalize women. If you're not this shape, if you're not this tall, if you're not that whatever. Every woman, every mum, every sister, every wife is important to God. And if they are important to God, then they need to be important to us also. Amen.